We're going to talk today about one of the most challenging requirements in engineering, right? Think of requirements. So we're going to talk about one of the most challenging requirements of Christianity today. But first, let's just have a word of prayer. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I ask, Father, that you would calm our spirits, Lord, so that we might be able to listen to you today. Lord, if it be your will, help me to deliver your message, Lord, so that it reaches the maximum number of people here today, Lord, and that they would all listen and hear you, not me. So, Father, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. So, there's an American poet. He's actually kind of not a poet. His name is Ogden Nash, and he did a kind of poetry that they called doggerel. Okay, one of his poems was they're very usually very brief. One of his poems was, "The Lord in His wisdom made the fly, but forgot to tell us why." Okay, so he's also been attributed with a poem that you might hear in church every once in a while, and it goes something like, "To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But here below with saints we know, now that's another story." So, forgiveness, all right? It's one of the first things that happens to us, right? As a matter of fact, it happened many, many years ago, right? It happened to us on the cross. Forgiveness isn't easy. It's not cheap. Okay, so Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." And that was right before they divided his garments. He was praying for all of us. Okay, every single one of us, every single human on the face of the earth. He was praying for his persecutors. Okay? Was he praying only for those that he knew would repent and come to faith in him? Not really, because he was praying for his persecutors. One Roman soldier is recorded as looked to him, said he was a righteous man. Okay? But not all of his persecutors came to him. Do you think the Father heard that prayer? I think he did. Do you think, as the second person of the Trinity, do you think Jesus was praying in the Father's will? I think he was. So I'll confess that until I really got started on this presentation, I hadn't really thought it through how the dynamic of forgiveness worked. If you'd asked me before if people in hell were forgiven, I would have said no, they're in hell. Okay, but really, the forgiveness took place here, and it was for everybody. So, what is forgiveness? Webster says it's to cease a feeling of resentment against somebody who's offended you. Okay, so waiter comes up and spills water on my lap at the roux. Okay, all right, it'll dry, no problem. Thank you very much. Okay, so it's also absolution. And absolution is kind of, those of you with Catholic backgrounds may think of this, right, the holy water or whatever, when you've confessed your sins and you've done your penance. But really, it's the removal of a transgression from our record. It's no longer there. As far as the east is from the west, okay, it's just not there anymore. So, if his forgiveness is unconditional, and it's based on the sacrifice of his son. We do nothing to earn his forgiveness. It's already been granted to us. So He himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. We choose heaven or hell, salvation, based on our decision to put faith in him. So it's our faith and his grace. Those are the only two conditions for our salvation. Forgiveness is already there. So then why do I need to repent? You know, if I'm already forgiven, I'm saved, I'm not going to that bad place. You know, why do we still think about repentance? Well, it's for fellowship. You know, in order to maintain fellowship with the Father, we need to repent confess and repent, all right? And then, because God won't even look at us if we're caught in some form of evil, all right? So he will, we keep sinning, okay? Throughout our lives, we sin. But as we sin, we break fellowship. You know, I can't walk in perfect fellowship with God if I'm in sin. So if then we repent because God has given us this avenue. In 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't sin, we're making him a liar, okay, as well as being liars lying to ourselves. So if I sin, okay, I'm out of fellowship. I'm carrying sin right now that I don't even know about. I'm carrying unconfessed sin. But thank goodness I can sit down and say, Lord, I am sorry. Please cleanse me from everything. And he knows, in his mind, he knows everything that you've done, even if you don't. So you may be asking, okay, is unforgiveness a sin? Every place in the Bible that it gives a command, every place where Jesus tells you to do something and you don't, that's a sin. Okay, so we're to forgive the Father as the Father, we're to forgive as the Father has forgiven us because of Jesus' sacrifice, and it's a command. So when you look at Colossians 3:12 through 14, key phrases, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Lord, forgive them all. They don't know what they're doing. So, sin, okay, three types of sins, three ways you cannot forgive and be caught in this. You know, sometimes it's like mental gymnastics, the things that we do to keep out, you know, to convince ourselves that we don't have any sin. So, you know, you can miss the mark. Okay, that's back to the old English archery term. To sin is to not hit the bullseye. So you can say, I just can't bring myself to forgive. I've got some sort of mental block against it. They've hurt me too bad, you know, whatever the rationale is. Or I'm unaware that I'm carrying a grudge. I've been in that position, okay? We had a church split in Southern California where we went to church. And a year and a half later, I saw the pastor's son at the end of the aisleway in the Ralph's grocery store, and I turned around and went the other way because I didn't want to talk to him. Okay, I was carrying a grudge. I didn't even know it until later. So to transgress is to deliberately cross the line. Okay, here's sin. Okay, and I do this anyway. Right? It's a matter of will. You know it's sin and you do it anyway. I refuse to forgive them. They've hurt me too bad. Okay. Iniquity is moral sin. It's a third type of sin. It's the sin, you know, it's a sin where, you know, you are just going to be that way. And you've made up your mind, and it becomes basically a lifestyle choice. It's carnality, it's being in the flesh. Okay, so I hold a grudge that my pride or the pride of the person I'm holding a grudge against won't let me forgive, right? I can transfer. I'm really good at transference. I can look at you and blame you for my pride. So the it can result in bitterness. Do I have to forgive them if they repent? Absolutely. Okay. Scripture is clear on that. You know, if they come to you and you repent, and they say, "I repent," and seven times in a day comes back to you, and seven times says, "You must forgive him." In one of these verses, Jesus says not seven times, but 70 times seven, 490 times. Was he talking about 490 times? You get out your baseball clicker, click, 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 click. No, okay. That was basically as many times as they come. Do I have to forgive them if they don't repent? Ooh, this one's harder. Yes. Okay, I have to forgive somebody who's done me wrong, and I have to forgive them. You know, it's just what it's about. If you do not forgive, ooh, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. What does that mean? Okay. This is one of those things that is running, themes that's running parallel to other themes like judgment. Do not judge lest you be judged. We'll see another scripture about this in a minute. Okay, so not just forgiveness though, you got to love them. Beyond forgiveness, you have to reach out and you have to love them. When you look at the definition of love that everybody takes from 1 Corinthians 13, these are love words or forgiveness words, right? These forgiveness is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, forgiveness, never ends. So the command is to love one another just as you have been loved by the Lord. If that sounds harder than just saying, okay, I forgive you, and then walking away and living the rest of your life, it's because it is. Because now you're back, you're involved with them again. How about my grudge? I've had a grudge with this person for so long, or against this person for so long, that it's just become a part of me. It's part of my worldview now. I'm carrying it around like my 3-inch wallet in my back pocket, right? So every time I sit down, I'm reminded of it. Okay, so don't, even as far back as Leviticus, right? Don't bear a grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. That love theme again. Again, this is a command. Repent of your grudge and give all the hurt and resentment to God, assured that he will handle it all in his time. You may not, you can hand it over to him. You can take it back and hand it back and take it back and hand it back. It's going to happen that, it may happen that way for some of you. Or you can take it and he won't seem to pull the weight off yet, okay? But he will. When you do, it not only frees you from your sin, but it also allows you to do that east from the west thing, right? It frees you from their sin, the consequences of their sin in your life. Okay, but it's my grudge and I'm fond of it. I've lived with it for a long time. Your grudge is taking up valuable space in your head and in your heart and in your life. Okay? Confession, I can be sitting there, right, in enjoying the view out our window, and in my mental living room, okay, and my sister-in-law can come in and park her mental Birkenstocks up on my coffee table and take over my head for a while, right? And this was like 20 years ago. Okay. And I can't help it. You know, it just comes back. Does it mean I haven't forgiven her? No, it means I'm sinning again. Okay, it's a persistent sin in my heart that comes back. What do? Confess it, repent of it, okay, and then move forward from there. Okay. It's hurting nobody but you when you're doing this. The thing is, when you don't do the last part, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in proper time, casting all your cares, my sister-in-law's Birkenstocks, on him because he cares about you. You need to be sober-minded and alert for those instances to come up, because they will come up. At least they do for me. And your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anybody he can devour. So a cautionary tale coming up here. Who likes crab? Show of hands. Okay, all right. So the coconut crabs of Vanuatu. My wife and I, Timmy and I, had a timeshare in Kihei, Maui for about 14 years. And it was really, really neat. And when we would go over there, we would go to a Calvary Chapel in Maui. And it was in an old luau place. I mean, if you can imagine, with the palm fronds and all the decorations and the fishnets and the balls, everything hanging around, and the worship leaders played ukuleles, and it was pretty cool. Well, anyway, one of their worship teams had just gotten back from a youth team, youth mission, had gone to Vanuatu, and the youth pastor was the one giving the sermon. I wish I could remember his name. Tried to find him so I could credit him with this, because it's his story. Anyway, the coconut crabs in Vanuatu are huge, okay, and they eat coconuts. And when they go and they get a coconut, they won't let it go. So the way they catch coconut crabs in Vanuatu is they screw a string or a piece of rope to the coconut, and then stake the coconut to the ground. Okay, and then when they leave it overnight, and then in the morning they can come out and they can just pick up the coconut crabs and take them and throw them in the pot. All right. So here's the moral, right? So that's the devil. I don't know, his name's probably Manion. He's probably the nicest guy on the planet. But anyway, in this cautionary tale, he's the devil. And he's got you, the coconut crab, and you're still holding on to your grudge. So the moral of his story that day was, you gotta let go of the coconut. So unforgiveness can also lead to bitterness, all right? And bitterness, so pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, right? So if I'm unforgiving and I am talking about that unforgiveness. Oh, I have such, I'm so, so sorry, I have such unforgiveness, and I'm sharing that with people, all right? Then they can take on some of that bitterness, maybe in sympathy with me, maybe they've got their own, you know, and it spreads. You know, the enemy just loves to spread this kind of thing around. Bitterness can lead to division. So how can their repentance be genuine if, remember, it comes back seven times in a day? Okay, how can that really be genuine repentance, okay, if they keep doing it over and over? Well, how many times has Jesus forgiven us the same offense over and over? I keep doing the same things. You know, I keep having to go back to the same, you know, type of confession and repentance. I'm not perfect yet. You know, someday. Don't judge that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you use others. And you will be measured by the same measure you use. If they don't deserve my forgiveness, did I deserve God's forgiveness? Okay. No, I didn't deserve God's forgiveness. And that's what grace is about, right? I didn't deserve it. He gave me more than I ever deserved. Okay. So now I've got this grudge, all right? And one of the first things I need to do is I need to deal with my heart before God. Okay, if I'm gonna ever try to make amends, to clear the air with somebody that I've got a grudge against, I've got to first take care of my separation. Okay, so I do that. He convicts me. His Holy Spirit says, "Hey, noogie, noogie, noogie." All right. And then the next thing is I repent. Okay, now that's good. Okay. This other person is out there. I don't know whether they're doing that or not. It's really not my business. Okay. But I still know that my relationship with them is broken. Okay, so it's modeled, my reconciliation with that other person is going to be modeled on my reconciliation with God. It's we're made in God's image. We kind of work the same, only imperfectly. All right, so we have this conviction and repentance, and hopefully that person's right with God too, because then they might be willing to listen to me. And I'm sorry, that was wrong. If the one on the left is me and the other one is the other guy, then I messed up the chart build. So anyway, that's supposed to be me going to the other guy and, you know, what is it you've got against me? How can I, you know, get right with you? Okay, and then in order to really complete the circle, okay, they have to kind of do the same thing with me. What happens if it just stays like this? Okay, it's an imbalance. We can go through life like that. We can go through life in imbalance. Okay, that's the condition that, you know, my sister-in-law are in and I are in, right? There was no true reconciliation, because there wasn't a dual, you know, acknowledgement of wrongs and a dual granting of forgiveness. Okay, so every once in a while she shows up in my mental living room again. So, you know, I don't want that, but, you know, it just happens. But it you know, the conviction and repentance are really needed both ways to achieve a full reconciliation with somebody that you've got an issue with. You're the only one, okay, who can forgive somebody else. It's God's power in you through His Holy Spirit that will convict you of the need to do that. But just like you're the only one who can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, really, you're the only one who can extend forgiveness. So does it matter whether you were the one who was wronged or the one who wronged somebody else? Not really. You know, right now we're all here today offering worship to the Lord here in church. We're making an offering at the altar. Okay, so if you're offering your gift of worship at the altar, and there you remember that your brother and sister has something against you. It doesn't say that you have something against them. If you remember that they have something against you, you go to them and be reconciled. Then come and offer your gift. I've got open issues right now. I'm standing before you, preaching at you about something where I've got personal sin, right? I haven't made all of these offers yet. Does that mean what I'm saying is invalid? No. It means I've got work to do. Okay, so am I holding a grudge? Do I know somebody who's upset with me? I need to go and apologize for my part in the quarrel. I may not even know what my part in the quarrel is. I may just know that when they come through the door, you know, I go to say hi and they go, but, you know, so the other disclaimer on this chart is if you are having problems because you've been a victim of abuse, that's not what this is about, not what this process is about. There's a whole other counsel, okay, that should be available to you, you know, if you're in that situation. So this is about, I'm not forgiving you because you didn't bring the cookies on Wednesday. That kind of thing. So me, like I said, guilty as charged. I'm standing up here preaching at you about something that I've got open issues with. Romans says, if possible, as far as depends on you. Okay, so me going and initiating that reconciliation is dependent on me. I can't depend on them to do that. You know, me clearing my life with God, me clearing that slate of sin depends on me. I got to do it. Okay, true peace requires true reconciliation. This is not passive, and we need to initiate it. We need to make the effort, and it's a commandment, as far as it depends on us. So one of the things that Chris coached me on about standing up here was, I'm supposed to tell you the big idea, then I'm supposed to remind you of the big idea, and then I'm supposed to finish with the big idea. So in industry, we used to say, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Okay, so forgive. Okay. Thank you. Father, we come before you again in the name of Jesus, Lord, and if any of this sticks, Lord, it's from you. We love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for all these people, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.